Scope and content. This may be slightly critical in tone. Key features that was what Cornelia suggested me to tackle. Looking at the titles, it's quite important. The key question perhaps is it now the single evidence gathering instrument that was promised to us because it was presented as if it would replace the bulk of instruments and make your life easy? My point is it's nothing but a con. It creates more fragmentation, I'm afraid. I will try to illustrate that. It's also I also have one slide about mutual recognition as the new religion. It's a belief system, and not all belief systems are bad, but a belief system has certain features. Something about costs, nothing like a free lunch. Self-restriction, it's one of the key elements to balance things. I'm a non-believer, clearly. What I actually see in the instrument is a lot of new distrust. So it's supposed to build on trust, but I see many features which are just reflecting distrust. I'm supposed to look into grounds for refusal, which I will do. As far as specific investigative measures are concerned, I think there's just continuity in a couple of instances, luckily marginal improvement, but then I mean marginal. I mean super marginal, okay? And there's no free movement of evidence. This was probably the momentum in 2010 and the years after that to build on the to use the possibility of the Treaty on the Functioning of European Union and to introduce free movement of evidence. If it's one thing that it doesn't do, among the many things it doesn't do, the instrument, it does not introduce free movement of evidence. It's totally unhelpful. The possibility that evidence is set away by the judge in your court because it's non-compatible with its system or certain rules have not been complied with, which are apparently important for the jurisdiction concerned. Well, we're nowhere. So I'm truly sad about this. Now, about the single instrument. The good news is, if you look at the procedures to which the EIO applies, it's roughly the same as in the situation predating the European investigation order. If you have a look at Article 4, it says it will apply to procedures in which European investigation orders can be issued by judicial authorities for criminal offences. That's quite common in MLA land, right? It can also be issued by administrative authorities or by judicial authorities in relation to so-called infringements of the rules of law, which are not criminal offenses in terms of status, and which can give rise to a procedure or an appeals procedure before a judge competent in criminal matters proper. So also the so-called administrative offenses, the Ordnungswidrigkeiten and other comparable offences treated and dealt with by administrative and or judicial authorities are within the scope of the EIO. That was exactly the case also based on Article 3 of the EU 2000 Convention, so nothing new. The same for corporate liability. If it's a case in which your suspicion is against a corporation or a legal person, it's also possible to issue an EIO. So nothing new, exact same set of procedures. Slight reformulation, but nothing important. So, no surprises. Is it now replacing the entirety of the MLA instrumentarium? Well, actually not, because it's only most member states who are bound by the directive. There's an opt-out by Denmark. It's clear, it's an opt-out by Denmark. There is no opt-in by Ireland, but there is an opt-in by the UK, even that is a temporary, most probably. So that's three countries to take account of. It's different. It doesn't create a single instrument between all EU member states. And then the key article at the end of the instrument says, well, it replaces, and it sounds very nice on a superficial level, between the member states bound by the directive, and now we know it's not all member states. It replaces between the member states bound by it the European freezing order. Oh, we get rid of that because the European investigation order incorporates the freezing possibility. And it also replaces the corresponding provisions of the Mother Convention, 1959, of the two protocols of the Council of Europe, the 1990 Schengen Convention, the 2000 Convention, and the 2001 Protocol. So you say, hooray, we're done with all these instruments. We have a single instrument. No, not at all. It says it replaces the corresponding provisions of. If you then would hope for a table or a conversion table in which points out which article of the EIO actually corresponds to another article of any of these instruments, well, this hope was idle. It was, I think, in February 2017 that the question was raised at the level of the European Judicial Network to sort of take the question back to the member states and report back on what their understanding was of the respective member states in terms of what provisions the EIO provisions corresponded with. So I've done the exercise myself. I think it's probably the only time that it happened. I'm not sure. And it's sort of shocking if you compare it. Because my conclusion is that member states bound will in any event have to continue to apply, at least in part, all the so-called replaced instruments, all of them. So none of them will become irrelevant. Why is that? Because it doesn't replace MLA. It's only a vehicle to have investigative measures executed. MLA is broader than that. MLA is also about the sending and service of judicial documents by post or through judicial authorities. There, you may want to invite a person from abroad in court, so to send out subpoenas or invitations to appear as a witness or as an expert abroad. Well, you still need to rely on the old framework because the European Investigation Order doesn't have a corresponding provision. Denunciation, in which you can denounce a case to another jurisdiction abroad, a sort of transfer of proceedings where you don't actually pass on the prosecution, but you sort of make a deal or suggest the other jurisdiction, which has intrinsic jurisdiction for the case, to deal with it. Not possible. Spontaneous information exchange, not covered under the EIO. Joint investigation teams, that's clear from the text. It says, well, these are all replaced, but for joint investigation teams. So for joint investigation teams, you have to go back to the EU 2000 Convention anyway, or to the framework decision of 2002. I'm afraid that you still need to apply the entirety, I'm saying, of the traditional MLA instrumentarium. When mutual assistance relates to, and I'm reading, proceedings for claims for damages, clemency proceedings, civil actions, joint to criminal proceedings, service of judicial documents related to the enforcement of sentences, or preventive measures, imposition of fines, payment of costs for proceedings, in respect of measures relating to deferral of delivery or suspension of enforcement of a sentence, or a preventative measure, conditional release, or to a stay or interruption of enforcement. There is also MLA around all these execution of sentences stuff, and that was a novelty of the 1990 Schengen Convention. I'm just quoting Article 94B2F of the Schengen Convention, which Schengen Convention is replaced, but there's nothing corresponding with that. So if you have any sort of MLA in relation to all of this, you're nowhere with the EIO. So you fall back on the entirety of the old instrumentarium. There also was a mediation role introduced by the 2001 protocol for Eurojust in cases where there were like difficulties between member states. I take it that there won't be any difficulties in the future with the EIO because no role or as a mediator role for Eurojust has been foreseen. So actually, if that is the case, you also need to fall back on the old instrumentarium. So seriously, I mentioned between brackets the old instruments. I also have an exact table with articles which do not correspond, etc., if you would like to have that. So I'm sorry, it's a con. You had a dozen texts and you just have another text on top of that. And you need to find your way around and know which thing you don't have anything in the EIO, and then you necessarily fall back on the old instruments. By the way, in addition to the EIO, even if it would replace a lot already, certain instruments are definitely not repealed or not replaced because they don't have any corresponding provisions. Perhaps they do have corresponding provisions, but nothing was said about it in the EIO. So the Benelux Treaty, the Naples II Convention, the 2004 Benelux Police Treaty, the Swedish Framework Decision, the Prüm Decision, taking DNA samples, well, go and use Prüm, okay? You want to do some fun stuff based on the Naples II Convention? It's your call, okay? Because they remain fully competitive instruments. If we look at countries, Denmark and Ireland, in relations with these countries, of course, you will also need to continue to apply the freezing order. You thought you were rid of the freezing order, not with these countries. With these countries, you will still have to apply the old Council of Europe Convention and the Protocol of 1978, the Schengen Convention, the 2000 Convention, and the Protocol in relation with Denmark. And for Ireland, that would not be the case because it's not a party to it, so you could there work with the 2001 Protocol to the Council of Europe Convention. It's handy for you that I sort of mapped it because no one would do it for you, definitely not the Commission. Schengen Acquis. Oops, do you know about the Schengen Acquis? And do you also know that Norway and Iceland and Switzerland and Liechtenstein are entitled to participate and work with these articles of EU legal instruments which build upon the Schengen Acquis? That was the case with the 2000 Convention, because if you read Article 2 of the 2000 Convention, it says this article, that article, that article. They are the further development of the Schengen Acquis, meaning that Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Norway, Iceland can also do certain things like sending documents abroad by post. You can do that to Norway, because it builds on a Schengen idea. Okay? Has anything changed treaty-wise in relation to the Schengen Acquis and its further development? No. But is there any article featuring in the EIO about which articles of the EIO build upon the Schengen Acquis? No. So I'm afraid they have forgotten about that there was a Schengen Acquis, and that some articles still build on the Schengen Acquis. Now, I've done the exercise and sort of mapped which article builds on an old Schengen Acquis. But hey, they haven't regulated it. They could have done so, but they haven't. So I'm afraid that your relations with Norway, Iceland, Switzerland, and Liechtenstein will be extremely complicated through the EIO. So if you're still okay, we can move on. The mutual recognition, the mutual recognition fetish, it's problematic. Because it's a system under which you believe that ordering things will work better than requesting things. I have nothing against more speed. And the speediness introduced by the instrument is probably good. It says you need to decide within 30 days. If you can't, you can take another 30 days, and then you need to actually execute within 90 days. You could have drafted that in a convention as well. It hasn't anything to do with mutual recognition. But the idea that you must be able to order things and oblige another member state to execute what you want, because that other member state is supposed to trust you on anything, for any investigative measure requested, that is a crazy system. Especially if you compare it with the flexibility of the 1959 Convention, which also had key articles on specific things, house search and seizure, but for the rest said in Article 1, member states shall provide one another the widest assistance possible. It was a commitment. Okay, It was not a hard obligation that you will do anything at whatever cost. No, that you will do whatever is within your possibilities, okay? That was nice, and it actually worked. We studied a lot the execution of MLA requests in practice, and even in big cases where big things were requested, states would and colleagues would want to do that for one another often. So I'm afraid that the ordering system will probably fail. The characteristics here are that there may be alternatives. If a measure does not exist, because you can ask for any measure, you can order any measure, but if the measure does not exist under the legal schemes of the executing member state, it cannot execute it. I'm not sure what measures they mean, but theoretically this possibility exists. And then you can come with an alternative. I'm not sure whether this alternative thing will actually work, because if there were a good alternative, they would probably have asked for that in the first place. Some measures need to be available in any event. So you cannot say, I will come with an alternative solution if an investigative measure is required, which is one of these listed here in the middle. Like if the request is for existing evidence, you have conducted telephone interception, you have the tapes and the transcripts, it's in an old case dating back 3 years, you have it, it's stored, okay? It doesn't require a new investigative measure. That information, that evidence, you need to be able to give it. It doesn't require the taking of an investigative measure. So this needs to be possible. Any information that is directly accessible by the police or by judiciaries in their databases and would be accessible to them in a domestic case, that also needs to be available. In terms of evidence and transfer to the issuing member states. Any sort of hearing of any sort of person, a witness, an expert, a suspect, an accused, or a third person, that must be possible. Any non-coercive measure must be possible. And also the identification of persons based on their telephone number or IP number. If you have that information, it must be possible. This is what you must have, no alternatives. Is it a big deal? No. Is it a big surprise? No. Was it possible under the old schemes? Yes. Big breakthrough? No. Still, this is not the worst bit. Probably the bad thing is it's possible to ask for anything. What do you think about that? Is it realistic? I've studied, the functioning of MLA in practice in several countries, and I can tell you based on that research, it will probably not work. It's not so realistic that states will be happy to prioritize your case, to pay financially and capacity-wise for execution of measures that they don't find a priority themselves. If you have a very simple example, we, for instance, studied execution of Belgian MLA requests in the Netherlands, two countries that have worked for many decades together, including at Benelux level, speak the same language, and still there are so many problems with execution of MLA requests, even under the older traditional instruments, which don't require that every measure will be executed. Even the measures that need to be executed based on the traditional MLA rules and instruments would not be executed necessarily. This was also one of the conclusions of the study we ran for the Commission on the Laws of Evidence. That will be limitations necessary. One of the issues is, of course, the cost. It may place an unrealistic burden upon the executing member states, making all measures obligatory. Appealing to self-restraint, which is on the next slide, so it shouldn't have been supra, but infra here. Especially if you look at the cost article, the principle now, and it's slightly different than under the EU 2000 Convention, the cost system is that in principle all costs will be borne by the executing member state. That is the same principle as in the 1959 Convention, but I need to tell you that in the 2000 Convention, as states took a step back because they said it's unrealistic, they thought it in 2000, to expect that the executing member state will be willing to pay for any sort of measure like telephone interception, that there may be elevated costs, or video conference technology, it may not be available in the early 2000s because professional video conferencing would be a costly matter. So there were possibilities created in 2000 that the requesting member state would, for instance, provide the technology to the requested member state, so that it would pay for it itself. Also, the cost of telecom providers providing help in the context of interception could be routed back to the investigating member state. That were things that one realized in 2000 for specific issues that I mentioned here. Video links, telecom interception was already a sort of exemption to the principle that all costs would be borne by the requested, read, executing member state. EIO says, done with this. The new principle is, again, all costs for the executing member state. With a possibility to negotiate, if elevated. It's very vague, especially because now you can request anything. You can, for instance, request that another state will set up an undercover investigation for 2 years using its own resources for your investigation. Who will be willing to do that, honestly? Oh, there's a possibility in that article about COVID investigations that indeed there will be an EIO issued for that, but that eventually it will fail. Okay. It's already in the texts embedded that there's an exit scenario. If there's no agreement on the details, we're done with covert investigations. I'm telling you, if states will make such requests, it will not take too long before we will be in this exit scenario. Okay? Because if there's no solution for the cost and the capacity, it will dramatically fail. This is also what all states have echoed to us when we questioned them in the stages before the instrument started to apply. And states have then suggested a couple of other solutions that could have worked. Like if the cost is high or elevated, for instance, above 10,000 euros, there could be a sharing mechanism, like in the mutual recognition instrument on the sharing of the confiscated assets. We also have the exact same sharing mechanism there, above 10,000, 50-50 share. It could also work here. There could have been other creative solutions, like if I give you a very simple example. One of the clashes between Belgium and the Netherlands, for instance, was that Belgium's, in their investigative culture, they're too phenomenon-based. They don't prioritize enough. They run after like 1,000 targets, the Dutch say, instead of prioritizing on one. They don't like it so much. It also absorbs a lot of their capacity if we want them to also look for our, do things for these 1,000 targets. So we discussed the possibility in that context. It would probably be fine for the Belgians to keep the culture they have and to be allowed to do an interrogation of a witness in each of these 1,000 cases, but maybe they can do it themselves then. Come onto the territory, they speak the language, they apply the Dutch law, and then they do it. So a new principle like aut exequi or aut tolerare, like either you execute if you don't have the capacity, says Belgians, come and interrogate your witness, okay? Your capacity, your waste of capacity. Nice. We need novel approaches. The approach by which you can order anything at all costs, I'm afraid it won't work. But I'm wrong. I'm definitely wrong because all the believers in the instrument, they say, well, this will not happen. States will be very scrupulous in asking things. They will be very proportionate in issuing EIOs. How come? Because there's an article in the EIO which says the issuing authority may only issue an EIO where the following conditions have been met. The issuing is necessary and proportionate. Voila. Solved. Self-restriction is the solution. States and authorities will be self-restricted. Voila. So I was bullshitting, honestly, because it will not be like that. It will only be used in a proportionate fashion. Do we have a tool set to sort of measure what is proportionate? No. We don't have a tool set. Do we have experiences with disproportionate use of other mutual recognition instruments? For instance, the European arrest warrant? The answer is yes. The Commission has been very critical itself, the European Parliament, I mean, the entirety of social society organizations have blamed the European arrest warrant practice because it's been very disproportionate. European arrest warrants have been issued in cases where only in order to be able to conduct a hearing of a suspect, to establish the place of residence of a person, to sort of execute the payment of fines that were still pending, or to summon people or deliver a subpoena to them. That were reasons for which countries have issued European arrest warrants, because it becomes so easy. So, no, honestly, states and authorities do not have self-restraint. Practice has shown that. So, I'm a non-believer. Grounds for refusal. Mutual recognition, of course, we need to be able to order everything, and we need to reduce grounds for refusal. Article 11 gives you the set of mutual recognition-based grounds for refusal. I skipped one important slide, sorry. Mutual distrust. It's supposed to be a mutual trust instrument. Now, it's very double. On the one hand, it says everything's obligatory, okay? Everything must be done. But obviously, if you go that far, it's quite logical that there's some backfiring, right? That's why you get clauses and provisions which tell you a different story and where actually you can take a step back, like in this possibility, because if you read that article and the third paragraph of Article 6, it says, well, where the executing authority has reason to believe that the conditions have not been met of necessity and proportionality, it may consult the issuing authority on the importance, the true importance of the EIO, and after that consultation, the issuing authority may decide to withdraw it. So basically, if you feel that there has been no self-restraint, you talk to the guy or the lady and you say, I'm not sure it's so important, and then it can be withdrawn. So what is the benefit, really? So clearly, we get distrust again, because we're supposed to trust. Actually, it's not even difficult because we love one another, so we're happy to do things for one another. We don't question one another. You still recall that we don't question one another. Well, we do, because we can cast doubt on whether it was truly important. We can cast doubt on whether the necessity test was conducted in a credible fashion. So if you have doubts about self-restriction, tell the issuing party and simply deny executing it. There's a negotiation margin in case of elevated costs. So even the new cost system has its limitations. It's built in and already taken on board that it will fail and that the negotiation margin is necessary. Oh, you can also suggest alternatives if you can achieve the same result by less intrusive results. So if you think it's too intrusive, I like something less intrusive, I'll do something different. Now, the question is, can you do the same thing with a less intrusive measure? If that was the case, obviously, it's good to do so. I'm not sure whether it's not just theoretical. Another step back, very strange. I told you about Article 3 of the 2000 Convention, where we opened up for administrative offenses. We see here a new ground for refusal introduced in cases where it's administrative offenses are concerned, because if the investigative measure concerned, according to the book of the executing member states, cannot be taken for administrative offences, you can deny it. So this is really taking a step back until before the 2000 Convention. So it's new distrust, very strange. We're supposed to go forward, right, and not backwards. And we also get a new strictness in terms of what I call here, judicialization. European investigation orders can be issued only by judiciaries, by judges, by courts, by prosecutors or investigating judges. No, it's a lie. It can also be done by other authorities competent to run an investigation in criminal matters, but that requires a validation by a judicial authority proper, being a court, a judge, an investigating judge, or a prosecutor. Now, that's strange. If you allow me to go back to the 1959 Convention of the Council of Europe, the Mother Convention, it says, states, this is a convention about judicial cooperation in criminal matters. It's upon you to point out and declare to the Council of Europe Secretariat which are your competent authorities for judicial cooperation in criminal matters. The UK said, for me, it's the police. Fine. We took it like that. It was never a problem. The 2000 Convention says, for covert investigations, for joint investigation teams, for controlled deliveries, your competent authorities may be law enforcement or customs. Simply declare that, and they can act as if they are judicial authorities in criminal matters. Sorry, we have decades of experience in working with non-judicial authorities in the context of judicial cooperation in criminal matters, and all of a sudden we get this new strictness, this new, purism about judiciaries. It's shocking. It catapults us back until before the 1959 convention. It's super irritating. We have a fundamental rights exception. Of course, many people will say, hooray. You know, I'm in favor of human rights. I can be very lobbyist on procedural rights. But honestly, to build in a fundamental rights exception, what is the logic? Because we love one another, because we're so good, we're beyond suspicion, we're the best democracies of the world, of the Council of Europe. We're complying best with the European Convention on Human Rights. Yeah, this is why we all of a sudden need a new distrust clause between us, between the EU member states. This is what I call the Azerbaijan contradiction. It's, do we have a fundamental rights exception in relationship with MLA, with Azerbaijan, another Council of Europe country, which is also a party to the European Convention on Human Rights? No, we don't. So we now distrust EU member states more than non-EU Council of Europe member states. It's totally illogical. But some want it because it's popular. People in European Parliament say, oh, fundamental rights, super important. Of course they're important. We should have it in the EU-US extradition treaty of 2003 in order to prevent people to be transferred to Guantanamo. That's where we would have needed a human rights exception, but we didn't. But now we need a fundamental rights exception. It's very difficult for me to articulate what that actually is and how it would work. The same with legal remedies. I like legal remedies. I like procedural guarantees. But legal remedies, usually investigations, they're sort of secret often. If you intercept communications, it you don't tell people beforehand, right, do you? So for the vast majority, it will not work, a legal remedy. A legal remedy would often be limited to the possibility to object to the transfer of certain goods if you're a bona fide third party having a claim on it or something. Or ex post, you could appeal against an interception measure because it's disproportionate afterwards, okay? But in terms of preventative effect and legal remedies here, I'm not very enthusiastic. I actually don't see what people are talking about, so I'm very curious about the workshop. Grounds for refusal. We have new grounds for refusal that I talked about. Fundamental rights exception and an escape clause in case of administrative offences if the investigative measure cannot be taken according to your own system for a similar national case. And then we have a copy of typical European arrest warrant mutual recognition grounds that were inserted in the European arrest warrant framework decision on ne bis in idem, on immunities or privileges, which, again, I do not understand. We have never had an immunity or privilege refusal ground in any of the instruments predating the EIO. We did have it in the 2008 European evidence warrant, yes, but that was also copied from the European arrest warrant. You do know that this clause was only created in the very context of the European arrest warrant in December 2001 because Belgium was then negotiating as the chairman of the EU and the presidency with Italy, and Berlusconi needed to be convinced to step into the EAW, and he only wanted to do that if there was an immunity clause. That was the only reason. Now, to copy that through into the sphere of MLA is a step back. I'm sorry, we've never had immunity refusal grounds. It's making cooperation more difficult. If you now want to do a financial investigation involving a person of another country, says immunity privilege. We didn't have that before. We just had the functional immunities under the Vienna Treaty. That's it. We keep that. It's public international law. Ordre public, nothing new. Old extraterritoriality, also erroneously copied from the sphere of extradition into MLA. So again, a very painful thing. No refusal anymore for 32 offenses, same as in the European arrest warrant case, and also not for the measures that need to be available anyway, because they're non-intrusive. And there's one thing that I'm enthusiastic about, that this new possibility to refuse, even if it's a new refusal ground, it's sort of counter to the spirit of mutual recognition because it's supposed to be helpful, but this is a new hindrance. But I'm a fan. What is it? It's a new refusal ground where the measure is not allowed under your legal system for the offense concerned. If you allow for telephone tapping, but only for a set of 15 offenses and not for a 16th offense for which the issuing member state wants you to do the telephone tapping, then you can refuse because you can say, I know this measure, it's existent in my book, but I cannot do it for this offense. So I cannot do it. So that's a new refusal ground. It's very illogical from a perspective of mutual recognition because under mutual recognition, you're not supposed to worry about your own rule sets. You're supposed to execute what was requested and the judicial request as if it were your own. So if they allow for tapping for a 16th offense in their book, you will be happy to do so normally because you love them, okay? And you're okay with them, even if they're slightly different. That's the whole point. So you see, mutual recognition is dead, but I like it. Specific measures, marginal progress, continuity, continuity, continuity. Sometimes, like for interception of telecom, now you can also ask for decoding or decrypting, a nice addition, or information on financial accounts or account monitoring. It now also applies to non-bank financial institutions. So there's this tiny little steps forward. Right? You can do your own reading and comparison. No free movement of evidence, and this is my final slide. We do see, and this is strange, theoretically speaking, if we look at the EIO, we see that the principle of forum regit actum, which I talked about in the context of the 2000 Convention, you remember the principle? If there is procedural wishes expressed by the issuing member states, the executing member state is supposed to sort of comply with them to the extent that it would not lead to a violation of fundamental principles of its own legal system. So it's copied through. However, it isn't that illogical because now we're supposed to do mutual recognition. Mutual recognition is mutually respecting each other's decision. So wouldn't it be the case that mutual recognition would actually suppose that the issuing member state would have trust in the evidence gathered in the way it was gathered in the executing member state. The executing member state needs to trust the measure taken. You take that measure, yes, I take that measure because it's you and I love you. I take the measure and I execute it. Now you need to love me back because I do it my way. You like my way? Yes, of course I like your way because I love you. That's mutual recognition. So it's counter to the spirit because it's distrust. You actually dictate to the other state, I don't trust the way you will execute my order. You will do it my way. This is distrust. mutual forum regit actum. It doesn't bite with mutual recognition. It also only works one-on-one if the Netherlands asked Belgium, can you do this hearing of a witness à charge in the presence of my defendant, and Belgium says, yes, this is not according to my book, but I will be happy to do so, then we will apply the principle of forum regit actum. That will work for the Netherlands. The Netherlands will be pleased, probably, but doesn't mean that Bulgaria, that it will be okay enough for Bulgaria or for France. It will only work one-on-one because it's one state requesting specific formalities which matter for itself. So it will never lead to like mutual recognition of evidence in all directions throughout the EU. So there's quite some flaws with the principle, theoretically and because it's just one-on-one, so we need something better. And we've missed the momentum completely. I've seen that one of the questions is about admissibility of evidence. The question is resolved because there's nothing in the entire EU landscape currently, not in the EIO either, which will be helpful in terms of creating per se admissibility of evidence. We would have needed other steps like the ones suggested here, perhaps agreeing on a common set of rule set to be complied with in certain investigations. Like for a house search, we could probably say these are the rules that all systems need to be mirrored on, like the rules that we can derive from the jurisprudence of the Strasbourg court in Van Rossem. And for telecom interception, we could say, look at Kruslich and Hüwig and Kruslin and other Malone and Klaas, and we can derive important rules from that. If your law is like that, we will be happy to take in the evidence as per se admissible. That would have been a way, probably, but I don't need to talk about that. This is virtual reality. It's non-reality because the EIO is totally non-helpful in this respect. It's very illogical because it has a lot of distrust features. It's totally not the promised land because it creates just another instrument for you. So I wish you a lot of success and pleasure in finding your way around in the future, not just in this game that you will be playing for the next 5 hours or a lot of hours in any event, but especially in practice, because there it's about real stuff, real cases, real persons, and real impacts. And I'm very curious at the same time, doubtful. Thank you.